Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's good to see you, Mark. Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast. Just as we think we've cured all the problems, along comes more of them. Yep, this is the advice podcast dealing with all modern life's problems, small or big. A problem shared is a problem halved. But please do remember, I'm not trained at anything like therapy or medicine, so if you're halving your problem with us, you're halving it with a TV presenter. Mark is here to keep me in check.
Hi, Tim.
Hello
Mark. Everybody.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
On this podcast, we're going for it again. We've got weight issues. We've got wedding songs. We've got cross-dressing. We've got more.
And that's
we've
just in lots. This kitchen, eh?
Hey. What do you think of the special? People liked it, didn't they?
Very good.
We did a special with Dr. Julia Shaw, about the memory.
I've been trying to go through it all week.
What, thinking about your memories?
Well, yes, thinking about the technique.
The message I took away from... Oh, have you tried to change memories?
No, I haven't tried to change it. I've just been trying to think about whether the ones I'm thinking about are what they are.
Okay, if you don't know what we're talking about, you have to listen. We can't be bothered to go into it now, but podcast 10, was it, or 11?
11, which is number 12.
All right, podcast 11, listen to that one. But the thing I took away from it is to remember that your memories are never real. They're sort of real, but they might not be real. And also, when you go back to a memory of something amazing, try and actually remember the fact that the bad bits as well.
Yeah.
But then do you want to do that? I don't know. I mean,
My memories are all messed up because the one memory I have of last week's podcast is you using the name Jed Skywalker, which I've been laughing about all week.
What's that about?
I don't know. It stuck
Jed
out.
Jed Skywalker. Is that what some... I don't know. I don't know why I thought of that. Anyway... we're going to try and do some more specials because I like those. People seem to enjoy them, don't they? We had some great feedback on it, and people are sort of saying nice things about it. And I think people are fascinated with how our brains work because we don't really know what they are doing and how they work. So I think that's what
I think. Going Dr. Julia Shaw had a pretty good grasp of it.
I tell you what, she knew her stuff, didn't she? Right, now please remember when you're fishing for compliments. The great Buddhist proverb, it doesn't matter what others think of you, it only matters what you think of yourself. However, we like to read what you make of our podcast, so let's pay a visit to Ego Corner.
Ego Corner.
Ego Corner.
It's a very big corner.
This is the one that I like. You know, but we can't, if we're going to take the compliments, we have to take the criticism. But this is my favourite of the week, and it comes from Mozzie. She says... best podcast ever. I told my husband that he's a comfortable slipper. I've tried explaining it as a compliment, but he's not convinced. If you don't know what that means, you'll have to listen back to the old podcast. But basically, when you're out there searching for a partner, you're looking for a comfortable slipper. That's what you're looking for. And I catch up on a couple of our listeners who have written in. Firstly, Jamie, let me dig his email out here. From a couple of podcasts ago.
That's right.
We dealt with, he wanted to free up time so he could write his travel book. And he wrote us a lovely email afterwards saying, Dear Lovejoy Podcast, thanks for reading out my letter. It was great to hear your perspective on the issue and even hear you Google the time it takes to write a book. How long did it take to write? I can't remember. See, our memories are rubbish. We can't even remember a few podcasts ago.
Was it 763... days.
That sounds right. Anyway, he says, it's really fired me up to put plans together to finish the project. In answer to some of your unknowns, my employee job is full-time and covers the bills, and my self-employed position is assisting my wife with her business, which involves evenings and a lot of weekends. We do need the both for money. He was saying that he was trying to write this travel
book.
That's
right, yeah.
But he was doing a full-time job. And he was doing the part-time job. So we wanted to know some more details about it. Self-employed job, which is helping his wife. Anyway, I've chatted to my wife. I'm going to free up an evening a week to dedicate time to the book. Good work, Jamie. I've also put some time aside during a couple of lunch breaks where I can help chip away at the process. Again, good work. That's a determined man who's going to do it. Thanks so much for your perspective. I love listening to you both. Keep going with the proverbs. As a Buddhist once said to me, our proverbs might seem like a load of nonsense to some, but those some simply don't have the enlightenment to understand. That's a great one.
You, Jamie, and the rest of the...
We all hang out with...
Blooming listeners, right. Okay, you've all either read this same book or met this same monk.
It's the Great Buddhist Proverbs, just believe, Mark. P.S., if you're interested, here's the first chapter I spoke about. It was a pretty crazy first night. Day one, Thailand. It was with a mixture of excitement and nervousness that I was sat in the bar at Heathrow. But then, those two always do tend to go hand in hand, don't they? Anyway, it is with these thoughts spinning around in my mind that I was sat there with a pint in my hand and my head filled with the wonder of what I might discover on my first trip outside Europe, dreaming up some fanciful ideas of what to expect from the different places I was to visit. I finished the pint and headed to the gate. Dun, 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 dun. That's the first bit of his book. I like it. Do you like it?
Very good.
See, I thought a travel book, I thought it would be sort of more...
It's a travel book for normal people. He's starting off his travels with a pint at Heathrow. That's what everyone does.
I can't drink.
No matter what time of day it is, unless it's six in the morning, 12 lunchtime, or, you know, like 12 at night, whatever.
Do you do that?
It's tradition. You have to. It's the law.
I could not drink before going on a flight.
Why?
Especially long haul. I won't give away all the story here, but it's long haul, and he's about.
Well, I think going to Thailand. I think people probably.
Did it say that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it said out of Europe. Oh dear, I wasn't really paying attention. Yeah, no, he's going to Thailand. So long haul. Hey, I went back from Norway once, and it was a Saturday morning, and I got one of the early flights. And I do you know this, that the whole of Norway leaves, the male population leave Norway every Saturday to go to Anfield and watch Liverpool play football.
They do, yeah.
So I was in Stavanger Airport, and there's just loads of men all hanging around. They're all drinking, and it was about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy flying. I don't want to do it drunk.
But having a pint doesn't mean you're drunk. It's like, it's the ritual. It's really exciting.
Yeah, but you don't stop at one, do you? How many do you have?
You have to just have a couple, you know. especially if you're lucky enough to go in some sort of lounge, then they're free. And then
boots, eh? I just can't imagine. You go on the plane, you get dehydrated and everything. What's the point in drinking? I don't know. I've never had a drink on a plane, I don't think.
Ever?
I don't think I have, no.
See, you're the exception to the rule, I think.
No. I don't know. Maybe everyone just... Does everyone drink on a plane?
Because
they're
most...
scared or because they
it's
think,
just
yeah,
like
let's go.
It's like part of the holiday, isn't it?
Are you just going to sit there half drunk?
No, you just... But you're...
I don't agree with this. Like, hey, I'm going to go and watch a football match. I'm going to get drunk before I do it. Hey, I'm going to go and go to an art gallery. I'm going to get drunk before I do it. I'm going to go to the cinema. I'm going to drink before I do it. I want to actually watch it. I don't want to watch it half cut.
I never mentioned the cinema. Or
yeah, but that's
art
what
galleries.
People do.
I'm talking about a holiday.
Do you have a drink before football?
If I go, sometimes yeah. But it's when you meet someone in a pub, don't you? You're going to have a.
Do you have a drink? Do you have a drink before the cinema?
Not normally, no.
Yeah.
No, because I normally go in the day to avoid the crowds. But never go at 3 o'clock, because that's when all the old people go and they talk all the way through it, telling each other what's happened. Oh, it drives you. I actually had to turn around once and go, please, please stop talking.
By the time we get to podcast 20, people will realise Mark's not normal. Tracy wrote in. She's one of our listeners. We helped her out with a problem. She was the one what did she have? She'd married two people, hadn't
trust.
She?
Trust. She had trust.
She had married two people, and both of them had
let her down.
Had let her down. Yeah, they both cheated on her, and she couldn't trust men anymore. Anyway, we sorted it out, and her life's just a happy ever since. It's like. A Disney movie now or something. But anyway, no, she wrote in and said, thank you for my certificate, loving the Latin. We actually sent certificates out. We did. Is why she sent. Well done, us. At last, we managed to do it. Well done, Mark. He put in the hard graft.
I don't know, you signing them.
Oh, I did sign looked, it. Yeah.
You got a little bit of signature wrist, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit of TV magic on it as well.
You got TV wrist from signing too many things.
Yeah, but there you go. All right. Anyway, she says, loving your work. It is fun, entertaining, but sage and informative. Well, thank you. I love the mix of topical interviews as well as answering emails and tweets. Perhaps you could do a feature on mindfulness skills. What about Dear Lovejoy downloadable colouring book? Oh. She then meanders into even better. What about Buddhist Monk Sayings Guide? Yes, because the Buddhist monks need a bit of promotion from me. A principal emailed one pager to laminate and put on your kitchen wall to refer to at times of stress. Or a Dear Lovejoy t-shirt, one size fits nobody, with the Latin cura est a canis. What does that mean, Mark, again?
It's a very, very rough translation of anxiety is a bitch.
It's the Latin for anxiety is a bitch,
It's yes. a sort of Google-esque translation of...
Yeah, I know you love your merch, says Tracy. And then she says she's going off to print and laminate her new shiny certificate. Merch is a good idea. I used to work in merch. Did I tell you that?
Did you? Oh, yes. I think I recall this. You were, what were you called?
Swagman.
Swagman, that's
I was
it.
A swagman. I used to travel around with bands. And it's... You know what?
Who? Like who?
I didn't do the who, no.
no but how far back are we talking, like, you know, Glenn Miller?
I did. Glenn Miller, yeah. Glenn Miller. We used to sell trumpet bags.
We used to sell parasols and...
and straw boaters.
And hats.
Something, yeah. What would they have? Something like that. No, and I used to flog... I used to go on tour with bands. I used to do... who did I do? I did a Prong thrash metal band. I did. I worked for a company, so they'd send me out Prong. With anyone. Prong, P-R-O-N-G.
That sounds like an insult.
Probably is. They're American. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch did a few gigs with them. Midyear did some of his solo stuff. Crowded House did a bit of that. I did one night with Tapao. I sold one baseball cap. One.
Right.
I think they were on their way out then to Power. Was Power
or baseball caps.
It was just a woman, wasn't it? Was it a band?
It was a band.
It was a famous woman, though, wasn't it? She became famous anyway.
China in your hand.
Yeah, that's it. Go on, sing it.
No.
Go on.
No. I've got a guitar with me, Tim.
So I used to, but everyone thinks the first time you go on tour, you go, this is the greatest job ever. Because sometimes I was on the coach. I'll tell, I'm sure as the podcast progresses, I'll tell more stories from this. But sometimes if the band was small, you put the t-shirts in the coach, you'd sleep on the coach where the crew or the band were.
Yeah.
If the band was bigger and were selling lots of merch, then you would end up having to drive and sort of going... driving yourself separately, and that wasn't as much fun. But when you go on the coach with the band and everything, it's really good fun, but it just gets so tiring. I know that sounds pathetic, but you're just on a coach all the time, and you go to bed and you wake up in another country because it's all around Europe, and it's just tiring. It's not a lot of time to do any exercise or anything like that. And the guys who've been out on the road for years and years and years, they're unbelievable. I mean, it's no life that I'd like to lead. Do you fancy doing some of that?
No, but I think what we should have a new feature. We have a weekly dip into Tim's swag bag and pull out another story.
Swag bag. I was the greatest swag man ever, though.
Really? Can you quantify this? Can you back this up?
Because the first tour I went out on, they went, okay, here's the stuff. And you have to stock take. In those days as well, there wasn't a euro. You had to change the money up in every country.
Oh, I thought you...
I went out for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, and I came back and I saw the guys. I'm in the office and they said, how'd it go? And I went, yeah, here's all the money, and, you know, gave them all the cash and stuff that I'd got. And I said, I'm really sorry, but I've lost a baseball cap and a sweatshirt. I can't account for them. And they started laughing because they're used to people losing boxes of the things, Swagman and notorious for going, here's a box of t-shirts, what can I get for that? Sort of thing. And I came back and they used to, and after a while, after I'd done it a few times, they laughed and went, you're the best ever because you just come back with all the gear.
Truthful Timmy.
But I've never stolen anything. It just doesn't work.
It
doesn't fit me. No. I don't know why, but maybe I'm too scared to do it, but I just, you know, when the bloke's trying to sell the dodgy stereo in the car stereo, or something in the pub, or, you know, the dodgy fags or something. I was always like, no, I don't want to buy them. I don't have anything else like that. I'm too scared to do it. Anyway,
I'll get the healthier cigarettes from around the corner in the shop.
Oh, that's funny. That's actually really amusing. Yeah. Yeah, I did some amazing times on that. I went all around Europe with them. It's kind of a very strange life, though. And you know what a swag man do? Is we used to leave messages for each other and all the... Oh, it's boring, isn't it? It was funny for me at the time, but you'd get to a venue and there'd be messages left for you graffitied on the thing and stuff like that.
Like, T-shirts sell well in this venue.
It was, yeah. It was. I don't know, it's really funny. It's a strange job to do. It's a really strange job to do, but you end up becoming a bank because you're the guy with the money. So people come and ask you for... The crew ask you for money all the time. I saw some sites doing that. Interesting time in my life, but, you know, I'm glad I'm not doing it now. Okay, should we wander on to our first problem? I've got to find it here. Here we go. This is our first problem. And this comes from Mrs. B. A friend of mine has recently started listening to your podcast. She just listened to Lovejoy and Drugs, and it definitely was the best one yet. Have you peaked? Because she's scared to move on in case she's disappointed. Did we peak at that one?
We're always peaking, I would say. I think we said we peaked about episode 6, didn't we?
What did we make of the one where I was very tired? That was
a couple ago.
Yeah, that was a couple ago. Right. Anyway, she's obviously writing on behalf of someone else, so she knows the format here. The other thing she's learned is now she's quite stressed. Is that she may have to go for a huge operation. That doesn't bother her, but the 12-week recovery time does. She was thinking it would be lovely to hang about doing nothing all day. Since listening to your podcast, she's now panicking. She's going to get addicted to something. That's because I said after... If you don't know, if you haven't listened to this podcast before, I've had a back operation not so long ago, 8 weeks ago, and I've become so addicted to my smartphone. I can't tell you. It's gone, though, because I now get out and about a bit, so it's slightly... dispersed, not massively, but it has gone a bit. Anyway, I reckon she needs to plan her days, but with what? If she does have the option, she's been advised she can't even lift a kettle for 4 weeks. Wow, Mrs. B, can't even lift a kettle for 4 weeks. That is going to be tough, isn't it, to do that? Now, I think the first thing is on this is, do you need the op? Because someone said to me, a wise man once said to me, if there's any way that you can do physio or something to try and avoid the op, the answer is go that route first. Definitely do that route first. If the answer is no, then basically you have no choice. You just got to go on with the operation, but you need to get your head around doing it and the recovery. And I think you've got to plan your recovery. You've got to make sure everybody around you is informed what the operation involves, and you've got to understand recovery as important as the operation. I was totally useless, wasn't I?
You were just saying you've got to inform everyone about your operation. Man, you did some informing.
I did, but I didn't really understand the recovery process.
Why? What do you mean?
Because I didn't really realise the severity of the operation. I thought it was just like a knee op.
Right.
And then when the surgeon came in and said, you don't really leave the house for 2 weeks, I was like, what? And then you're not allowed to lift anything and all that sort of stuff. I didn't really understand it all. And I really struggled. It's funny, actually, because I do Pilates to get to as my rehab. And the first time I went to see my Pilates teacher, I was like, I'm not doing anything. She's going, okay. And I just remember it so vividly because I was so scared of
messing it up.
We basically did nothing in the first session. I paid 65 quid, which was a one-on-one session, for nothing, because I was going, I'm not doing that, I'm not touching it, because I got so terrified that I was going to have to go through this.
Wiggle your ears. No!
Literally like that. She goes, can you just do a bridge? No, I'm not doing a bridge. It might hurt. But I trust her implicitly now. We do all sorts of things. I'm more or less levitating now. I found kung fu muscles. She does this thing, right? Have you done Pilates?
No.
Because it's all about invisible muscles. So, you know, if you go, right, move your bicep, you can see your bicep move. They're looking for the muscles, the sort of ones which support your core, you know, that mystical core, ooh, the thing that's in, you know, that magical thing inside you which is going to heal all problems. So sometimes she's going, just now, just slowly tilt up. And I'm like, with what? And she goes, the muscles there. But I don't have any there. You know, what's going on? She's going, that's it. And I'm going, she goes, can you feel that? And I go, yeah. And I'm thinking, absolutely not. So, you know, I do believe within... I don't know. I reckon another 8 weeks and I'll be able to levitate. I think that's what.
Do you reckon you'll still be banging on about your back operation then, though?
I've got a nice neat scar. Right, here's what I've learned, Mrs. B. First of all, list of questions to the surgeon. Actually, my Pilates. lady taught me this. She said, what you've got to do is you've got to write down an absolute list of things that she said. You've got to, as many questions as you possibly can, list them, otherwise you forget when you get to the surgeon. But this was post-operation, but it was when I went for my checkup thing to ask. And it's so important. You need to get as much facts about what the recovery period is. And when I went into him and I said, I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. And he said, you do know you've had a major operation. I went, I thought it was a bit like a knee op. And then he started laughing. He went, no, what you've had is quite serious. You know, you've got to take it. So I didn't really understand that. You cannot rush recovery. And that's the important thing. And I don't know how many times people, and I've actually been quite good on this. The famous Buddhist proverb is why I'm good at this. Those who rush recovery always rush back to the doctor. There you go. That's the Buddhist proverb. You can't rush recovery.
You're getting to the end of that book of Buddhist proverbs because they're getting thinner and thinner.
Someone mucked me up though, because on Twitter, after I'd had I had a discectomy, by the way, and after I had it, some bloke wrote to me and said, oh, I had a discectomy, I was running after 6 weeks, it's brilliant. So I sort of got to the 6 week mark and I thought, I'm nowhere near running now. I've just entered the cross trainer. I've done 12 minutes on a cross trainer the other day. I'm swimming and I'm doing lots of bridges and I'm doing levitation. But I'm not actually doing in my mind now, I'm going to levitate. That's the problem. Since I've been doing Pilates, I believe I can do it. Anyway.
Go on, try it now on the podcast. Go on.
Maybe you need to explain what I'm doing.
Okay. So he's got in a weird stance there. He's going up. Tim, come down, you're going to hit the ceiling. Come down. It's like Mary Poppins.
I think it was my Pilates teacher the other day. I'm doing something sort of stomach, buttock related. And then she's going, it's all about the lats. And I'm going, what? How the hell are the lats connected there? But it worked.
It's all about the wings.
The thing is, though, when I was trying that just now, I was moving my lats. Yeah. Did I leave the floor at all?
Oh, mate, I can't believe it. That's the greatest thing about podcasts.
If we'd gone back to the one I was on drugs, you could have said I'd left the floor. And I'd gone.
I need to believe me.
Oh, yeah. Wow, did I really leave the floor, Mark? Did I? And because our memories are fake, in podcast number 18, you're going, do you remember when you left the floor? And we'll both be going, I did levitate, didn't I?
We've got audio proof.
I was like Mary Poppins. With my brolly out. Right, anyway, you've got to realise, where are we going with this? Right, so you've got to take your recovery serious. You've got to realise that you have weeks at home and you've got to think of a good way of using that. I was really good, wasn't I, Mark, when I was stuck at home?
Oh, man. There was a couple of podcasts that I came around, I actually didn't think we were going to get through. Every 2 minutes, like lying on the floor and going, oh, my man.
It was mentally.
Yeah.
Well, he used to come around and go, you're right. And I go, yeah. And he'd go, mate, you're in a really bad way. Obviously, because you've seen me more than anyone, I suppose, apart from my kids and my family, because you come around to do the podcast all the time. I've been here some real low times, haven't I, in recovery. You cannot. I mean, I went to visit a teenage cancer centre the other day, and some of these kids are in there doing years worth of
radiotherapy
and stuff, and they have to spend such a long amount of time in the hospital, and that's why these facilities are so good. You know, it's such a great charity. And I just thought, I was struggling with just 2 weeks staying at home. How do these guys do it? So you've got to get your head around it, and it's so important to do that. And I mean, I really struggle with it because I like being active and getting out there.
I mean, I any excuse to sit around and watch Netflix for me.
I can't do that.
And play the guitar. You have all these great things to do.
Yeah, I was playing the guitar. but see, I got so bored of podcasts. I got so bored of box sets. I got bored of reading. I got bored of absolutely everything.
Was like a week in.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just got like, I can't do any of this stuff. It's so boring. You've got to find something you do. Do you know it's a good idea? It's like Jamie, we just mentioned, write a book or something. Set yourself a task, something you've always wanted to do, and say, I've got 12 weeks. It's mine. I'm going to do something. I don't know, do a jigsaw, find something that you want to do.
You're going to be such a pain in the ass when you're retired.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bad old person.
You really are.
Well, I've made my mind now, set my mind to think. You know, I used to love running and I'd like swimming, I like running. I like things where it's really energetic and get me sweaty and all that. But I've decided, because it wears your body out, I've decided now I'm going to do yoga and Pilates and things like that.
And old man swimming.
Yeah.
The old man breaststroke.
No, so I'm going to do side stroke. People used to do side stroke. So I'm going to do that because I want to be active all my life. So I'm going to spend more time on flexibility so that I don't wear my body out anymore, because I'm going to be a nightmare if I have to sit around this house. I tell you, that would be no good.
I am not coming to visit you in that home.
I just I don't know how I'd do it. I can't do it. You'll be all right. I'd be hopeless. So listen, Mrs. B, you've got to get your head around it. Do you know what? Actually, I think this podcast kept me going because I used to love it. Mark used to come around. I go, thank God for that. We're actually doing something, which is interesting. But I did have to keep getting up and lying down, didn't I, on the floor because I was in pain. Anyway, listen, any suggestions on what Mrs. B can do, email them to dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me a tweet, here is our Twitter address.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
@TimLovejoy.
Yeah, it's @TimLovejoy. Here's a couple of problems off Twitter this week, excitingly. Okay, this comes from Paul. Wife's working late tonight, so I'm sorting out the evening meal for my boys, 10 and 13. Takeaway or homemade?
Always homemade.
I said homemade. Yeah, I go for homemade.
Always.
Homemade, and let them join in. They'll never forget it. Team Paul makes the dinner. That was my reply. But even though they're 10 and 13, and it's kind of, for them, it'd be dull as anything. But if you go, come on, lads, let's do it. Let's make the dinner together. Those things where you do something with your kids, you'll never forget those.
Nice.
You know, it's like every now and then just turn up to your kid's school and pick them up from school and go, right, we're going to go to the cinema tonight on a school night or something. And they go, what? Just something random like that. It's just that moment where they go, it's not normal, whatever. And I just thought, if you can get together with your kids, such a great idea. Anything slightly out of the normal, kids from, I never forget that, do you?
A cinema trip with my dad. My mum was in hospital having my youngest brother.
Yeah.
And she was in there, it was taking longer than we thought. And so my dad picked us up and took us to see Rocky IV at the cinema. Oh, my God.
Which one's Rocky IV? What happens in that one?
It's the Russian one.
Dolph Lundgren?
Ivan Drago, yeah.
Oh.
It's so good. Made in America, James Brown.
Who won?
Sorry?
Who won the fight?
Well, Apollo Creed died, so it's not funny.
Okay. Did Rocky win, did he?
Rocky won at the end.
Did he?
Yeah. But even though, right, the other guy was massive and was like on drugs and stuff.
It's so funny when you go and watch films like that, because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I didn't. I was five.
What's the worst one? What's the one with... It won loads of awards. Ben Affleck, and he's with the journalists, and they have to get them out. Oh,
Argo.
Argo, right? So you know the story, and you know they get out. Apologies for anyone here.
And he was dead. He was dead all along.
No, so the whole film is about will they or won't they get out? And you're like, they get out. So this film's ridiculous. It won all those awards. It's like
it was the way you tell. It's not the story. It's the way you tell it, and it was told well.
No. Well, I disagree, because I thought the whole way they told it was, oh, will they get out? Will they? Won't they?
Yeah, but there was a bit when you thought they might not.
Yeah, but you know they do, because it's real. It's like saying the Titanic, where Leonardo and what's
that name?
And they go, oh, I wonder if it will survive. No, it's going down. It's in history. It goes down.
Yeah, and
down.
He died.
Yeah.
You weren't expecting that.
Who?
Leonardo DiCaprio died.
Everyone died. Most of the people died on that boat.
Kate Winslet didn't?
It's not a true story, that one. Well, it is. The Titanic went down. But
the Titanic isn't true.
No, the Titanic's true, but their actual lives aren't true.
No, of course it's not, but... Oh man, you were thinking.
No, I'm just being a realist.
Suspend your disbelief for an hour and a half. Enjoy.
Do you end up watching a film because you work in the industry a bit? Do you end up watching a film and thinking, that's a weird?
I don't work in the industry. We sit in your kitchen arguing about.
Well, I work in telly.
Yeah.
You work in radio and TV. Do you not think you sit there sometimes thinking, oh, that's a weird way they've shot that or something? It's hard to.
The comedy's the worst for me.
Weird script.
I'm always trying to up the joke if it's a comedy.
Comedy. Rewrite the joke because it's happening. Yeah. Who's done good specials recently?
Bill Burr.
Have you?
Louis C.K. Louis C.K.'s new one is amazing.
Is it?
Yeah. So good.
Okay, cool. I'll go and check that one out. I haven't seen it yet. All right, this one comes from Sid Badham. It's 2 weeks until my fiance and I wed. Best song to end the night on. And I wrote back to him something that people sing along to at the end of the night. I always think this is important. I gave him some examples. Don't Look Back in Anger, Must Be Love, or Hey Jude. I'm not a massive fan of Hey Jude, actually, the song.
Yeah, you don't like the Beatles. I
don't dislike the Beatles. Do you know what I like the Beatles? It's just some of their songs are ridiculous. And some of their number ones have been the ones that are pumped at you continually. Are just like,
you know they're going to get to a chorus. I don't know bother why you're waiting. You know they're going to get to the end of the song.
There's this great thing, right? If you're a parent out there, this is brilliant. There's a cartoon called Beatbugs. Have you heard of it?
No.
All right, so my kid loves it, Jamie. And they set every song, every episode to a Beatles song.
They've
got the Beatles songs. So I've got Jamie walking around the house going, Lucy in the sky with diamonds. And
brilliant.
I'm a walrus.
Yeah, brilliant.
Boop, boop, ba-doo. She does all that, yeah. So she does all that sort of stuff as she walks around the house. And it's really cool. Oh, I like it.
See, I thought you were a really good dad before. Now you're educating with Beatles songs. I think you're about the best dad there is.
Hey, thanks. Is Beatles your favourite band of all time?
Be really up there with a couple of other bands.
Mm. But music was only invented when the Specials came along. Before that, it really wasn't music.
Do you want to carry on with that email you've got there?
So anyway, so how you end the podcast? We're not ending the podcast, shall we? How you end the wedding? So I did that, and I just think it's a really good way to do it if you're going along and you're finishing the night, and if you're Don't Look Back in Anger or something like that. That's a great sing along, and everyone can sing along, or It Must Be Love, and then as everyone wanders out,
Labby Siffrey or Madness.
I'd go Madness because it's easier to sing along to, because Suggs, you can get along with Suggs. But can you think of any good ones like that where you just end the night and you just like...
Well, there'd be another Beatles one. It'd be you just go All You Beatles. Need Is Love. I can't. I think you've done the best ones there. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know if you've got any of those.
No joke ones, apparently. Proper ones.
Are you gonna? Yeah, no. You wanted to come up with joke ones, and I was
I had one which I thought was good, which is if you tolerate this, then your children will be next. Which I think is good.
That is quite good. Yeah, yeah. It's a joke. Are you gonna get married, Mark? Do you think?
I doubt it. But
I think I've been denied. I'm still like a. When you were a teenage, when you were a young teenage girl, Mark. Did you think about the dream wedding? You know.
I'm afraid I missed that. Phase in my life,
because I've always thought about the dream wedding, and I've always thought, and I've been denied it, and I still think I'm going to get married. I'm going to get married in white, and I'm going to have a cane. I just thought it'd be nice to get married with a cane and maybe a top hat and stuff like that. But I've actually,
my friend Mark got married in white. It looked really good. A white suit.
And what was his wife wearing?
White. Both. They were both wearing. He was wearing a white suit. Yeah. And their wedding cars were all minis. All really nice minis.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very good.
Was it a good wedding?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
What music are you going to go for on your wedding? I've got this dream, right? The next Mrs. Lovejoy, she's out there somewhere, and I'm going to marry her. But I've already started planning.
She's running away up the road. Thinking about Tim in retirement. I'm bored. I'm so bored. I'm bored of this virtual reality world we live in. I'm bored. I've got nothing.
But I've sort of worked out the wedding already and what it's going to be like. I won't go into massive detail at the moment, but always the hard thing to do is the music selection, what you go for in the music selection. The wedding's going to be based around a party of some description. But what do you go for? Do you go for a band or do you go for a DJ? Where are you going, Mark? Where are you going for your wedding? Let's think of your wedding. You've met the Mrs. Mark, and you're going.
Remember my surname.
I do remember your surname. You met Mrs. Mark, and you're going to go and get married. What music are you going to go for? What are you going up for?
I'd probably choose a friend who I thought had really good taste in music and get them to do it.
A DJ.
Yeah, but not a DJ. Not a wickle, 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 that kind of thing. Just, good iPod.
What are you aiming for here? You're aiming for modern pop songs. You're going to go for indie anthems. What are you going for?
Oh, eclectic, certainly. All those things and more.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've actually started making...
You haven't.
A playlist for my wedding.
You haven't. Did you do this while you were on your back?
I started it years ago, and it was just really funny.
Go on, what's on there?
So I'm not. No, I'm actually starting to flush a bit.
You've gone really red. It'll look terrible with a white suit and you've got a big red face.
I'm going to look the bomb when I do it. But I thought when you do wedding, you know, when you hear one of those songs and you hear a song and you think, oh, wouldn't that be brilliant if you're at a party? You know, like, they're party songs.
Okay. So like, which ones?
I'm doing it. Right. So I'm at a party and I'm just going to think, you put this song on and then everyone's going to go, this is great. I'm going to get on that dance floor and just dance to it. Do I really want to do this?
Yes, you do, because you've brought it up now. Looking through? At the moment, he's just looking through his phone. That's why it's gone a bit quiet.
I'm trying to choose the cool ones.
No, come on. Just go full wedding.
All right. Louis, the Kingsman, yeah?
Great find, yeah. Yep.
Can't,
yep,
everyone's going to dance Chris Paul. All right. I'm not going to get married without having, and this could possibly be the first song, KC and the Sunshine Band, and Give It Up.
Wow.
Na 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 now. Yeah, it's just got to be.
Come on, more. Come on.
I'm going ELO and Sweet Talking Woman. Okay. And I'm leaving it there.
No, come on, come on.
No, that's it. That's it. So I'm making a little playlist together. We're going to have a party, Mark. Mark, we're going to have a party.
Are you
playing? Oh, no, it's starting.
Don't play it.
No, I'm not playing it because you can't do that. It's illegal. So that's what's going to happen there. So anyway, wedding at the end of your night. Make sure you leave them.
Stop playing it.
What is going on there?
In trouble.
Apologies.
Right. Sued.
Well, if you've got any good ideas for tracks, let us know as well. So that's what's going to happen. Right. Here's some pearls of wisdom, some life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school.
TV team in the house. Life hacks. Pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
Okay, the first one. If you're emailing or texting asking for a favour, never ask how you are at the beginning. It will seem insincere. Just get straight on with the request.
Good. Like it.
If you're emailing or texting to ask a favour, never finish with, we must meet up soon. It will seem insincere. Just leave it with a straight request.
Good. Yes.
Thank you. This one was sent in, actually. This is from Coralie, who says, peanut butter can remove chewing gum from your kid's hair. Rub it on, squidge it in, and pick it out. No scissors needed. I don't know whether that's a wind-up.
That sounds like cobblers to me. I mean, I don't have that problem.
Is it just a joke? I don't know whether that's true or not. I kind of want to trial it, but, you know, it could go horribly wrong. That's her one. Okay, my final one. Before you go drinking, understand the three drink rule. Do you understand the three drink rule, Mark?
Is it once you've had three, you're going to keep going or something
like
that? Is that what it is?
See, I didn't know this, right? But I started drinking. I always used to go no more than three drinks because if you do more than three, four drinks, once you're on four drinks, to me, it's a whole world.
Yeah, so I have to worry about 16, 17.
No, but I mean, when you've done four, you're going to go to 16, 17. How many beers do you reckon you've sat in one set?
I don't want to think about that.
Have you done a whole day sort of drinking and stuff?
Of course, everyone has. You have.
Of course I have.
You've done a Leo Sayer, as they call them.
Why?
What?
Why is it a Leo Sayer?
All day.
Oh, good. I like that. I don't know. Yeah, but so the three drink law. And then I was talking to Simon Rimmer, the chef of my show, and then he explained to me in American bars, there is such a thing as the three drink law. So what happens is you go into a bar and you buy a drink. Yeah. And then the barman.
Oh, yes. And it's all about the tipping, isn't it?
No.
Oh, right.
Go on. Tell me what you're saying there.
Well, you buy like a couple of drinks and then like your third one, they give you kind of like, I have this on the house. But what you do is you basically tip them it's all a bit of a game.
Oh, no. See, the game is, I can't remember whether it's two or three. I think I might have mucked this up. So you buy a drink or you buy two drinks. I'm not sure it is. Then they buy the next one. And because they've bought you the next one, you then feel obliged to buy the next
That's
one.
Right, yeah.
So then you buy the next one. Then you're in because you've had four or five drinks by then, or four drinks or three or four drinks. Then you're stuck in there. And that's when you then go, right, I'll have another 16 drinks or whatever.
Because that happened to me. We were in New York and we with the person I was with, and I was at the bar and they gave us this drink for free. I went, this is great, this place. They're like, no, it's a thing. And having explained it to me, I actually genuinely thought, I was like, wow, I love New York.
Yeah, but they don't do it over here. And why don't we do it over here? Because we're stingy.
Yeah.
Because we should do it over here. It's a great idea, isn't it? Especially if it's in a local pub. I wonder if any locals do that.
We're so not like Americans. We just go, thanks, bye. And just walk off after the free drink.
Do you think we would? Yeah. I don't think we would.
I would. I'd go to the next place. if you went to five different places, you'd have five free drinks.
Yeah. But you've got to be careful when you go out there, because it is the economics, isn't it, of drinking. You've got to... Is it the law of diminishing returns, Mark, where you go out and you have one beer and it tastes brilliant, the next one tastes all right, and then the next one it goes down and down. And then eventually there's a tipping point where you've gone from being a really fun person and you're having a lovely drink to an absolute nightmare who no one wants to be around. As the Buddhist proverb says, no one likes a drunk. And it's true, isn't it? You end up...
It's the same with tea.
Tea.
Your first cup of tea... When you have that cup of tea, it's great. And then the rest just don't taste the same.
How many drinks do you reckon you can have before you become annoying? I know the answer to this, by the way.
Why, because you're drunk with me?
Yeah.
Well, yours is one.
I'm such a lightweight. I'm such a lightweight now. I used to be all right as a kid. But I'm just terrible. I don't care though. I'm not a big drinker anymore. It's just really struggle with it. I have a couple of pints. I'm like, well, hello, let's dance on the tables. What do you reckon? Well, are you a good drunk or not? I know the answer to this.
Why are you asking me then?
Do you think I'm a good drunk?
No.
I am.
You get really political.
Anyway, you. No, I'm funny drunk. Actually, you're right. Sometimes I get either really serious or I just get funny. It depends on the circumstances. It's one of those things, isn't it? It depends where you are or what you're doing. But I'm terrible on spirits. Never get me on spirits, Mark, because I tell the truth on spirits. It's like a truth serum to me, which is not good for my social life at all. I end up telling people all sorts of things, and it's not a good idea.
Oh, dear, this may be the last podcast.
Yeah. We should do one drunk, the drunk podcast. Should we do that once? Oh, let's do it. What was when we hit 20 or something?
Okay.
The drunk podcast. Send in beer or drink related problems. Not about alcoholism though. About something else. I had a few drinks and we'll do it whilst we're drunk and try and explain it. It was 10 o'clock UK time when we took off. I got a few hours sleep after some food and woke up to the weirdness that is long haul flight. To the east, where the daylight is fast upon you. After several more uneventful hours on the plane, we touched down in Thailand. I stepped off the plane and felt the wave of heat hit me. That heat you usually feel when arriving to most of the world from the UK. And it always seemed so much worse after being subjected to the ice-cold air conditioning of the plane. I looked out across the airport, tied my hoodie around my waist, and descended the stairs to the realisation I was now months away from home. Oh, more from Jamie's book. I like his book, do you?
Yeah.
Should we do Agony Aunt?
Okay.
Where are we in this podcast? I've sort of lost my way a bit today.
So you're drunk just talking about drink.
I know. I can't even talk about it without getting drunk. Right, let's discuss this. This is Dear Abby this week.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens, if anyone is the first time you listen to our podcast, where have you been? I'll take on an Agony Aunt. I'll give the answers. We read out the problem. I give my answer. Mark reads out his answer and we see who won. My husband, this is the problem. My husband and I have been married for 10 years. We're both in our 50s. 6 months ago, I found him with nail polish on his toes. When I asked him about it, he explained that it started in his 20s when a girlfriend painted his toes and he liked it. He's been painting his toes ever since. He said he doesn't wear polish all the time, but he does it for himself and he likes how it looks. I asked him if he was a cross-dresser and he assured me he isn't. I'm not sure I should feel about this. I'm writing for some opinions from you and others. I can't turn to my friends because I don't want this to become small-town gossip. And that's from Painted in New Jersey. I don't really know how to answer that because I don't really know what the problem is. What is the problem?
She just thinks it's a bit weird that her husband paints her toenails.
Why does he paint his toenails?
I think he just likes it.
What's the problem with that?
I don't know. Maybe there isn't.
I don't think there's a problem at all. I think it's fine. I think it's really weird how far we've moved on. If you ever saw a man dressed as a woman in the street, you would think, wow, that's weird, and maybe laugh. Nowadays, I mean, would you care?
Not really. I mean, if they're badly done, they're pretty funny.
Yeah, but I don't. Would you care if it was badly done? You're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, because I remember the first time you sort of witnessed all that stuff was back in the New Romantic days, where you'd see guys and you'd think, well, they're wearing makeup and stuff. And so it's quite shocking. Now, nothing's shocking.
No.
Is anything shocking anymore?
No. I mean, this podcast is getting pretty.
This is shocking. Yeah, we used to paint our toenails and fingernails years ago.
I bet the Egyptians did it.
Yeah,
I bet Egyptian men did it. They got eye in the paintings.
Yeah, what would shock you now? I think
ancient Egypt. I mean, not.
Yeah, I think the answer to this is don't worry about it. But I imagine this is coming from an older person, isn't it?
Well, yes, she said they're in their 50s.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. She did say that. I should actually read the words, shouldn't I? but there's no problem with it. I think it's just fine. It's just that's what people do, and you know, if he wants to do it, it's fine. I actually on Sunday brunch I put a skirt on not so long ago with Simon Rimmer for some item. It's actually very liberating, and I don't know why only women wear skirts. I don't think I could pull it off all the time, but I actually, it's quite a nice feeling to have just just a bit of freedom. It's nice. I don't. Have you ever worn a skirt? Have you ever cross-dressed?
No, I haven't. I've worn a kilt. Does that count?
Oh, I think that's really insulting.
No, I
apologise to all our Celtic brothers out there.
Don't do this.
Why are you wearing a kilt? I've never worn a kilt because I've always assumed it's insulting.
I was made to by my Scottish boss.
Initiation
ceremony. We went to an award ceremony and he got everyone one. And then he didn't go.
Oh no! So you're wearing kilts?
Yeah.
Was it nice? I imagine they're quite comfortable, aren't
they? I wore something underneath. I don't trust radio people.
I just thought I've always assumed that if I'm an Englishman wearing a kilt, I know English people wear kilts.
A Scottish man asked me to do it. So
yeah, but I've always assumed it was like what's that expression now? Cultural appropriation or something. That if I was to wear an Indian headdress, people would be angry, and I would have thought Scottish people would think I'm taking the Mickey out of their clothes if I wear it. So I've not really worn a kilt before.
Yeah,
is that right or not?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like that about English people wearing baseball caps, but
you don't. Do you really?
No.
Anyway, you do. I know you do. Why don't you think? What do you think? We should wear bowler hats. Stick with all those hats in Peaky Blinders. We need to stick with what we should wear as Brits. What's her answer, Abby?
She says, "Dear Painted, you asked for an opinion, so here's mine. Frankly, I'm surprised it has taken you 10 years to notice this, because your husband enjoys painting his toenails. Look the other way and don't obsess about it. We all have quirks, and what he's doing is harmless. P.S. I have it on good authority that he isn't the only man who does it."
Oh.
So do you reckon Abby's... Probably. Doesn't matter, though, does it?
It doesn't matter, Mark. It really doesn't
matter. As we established a couple of weeks ago, I don't think Abby's with us anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. If you've got any emails, by the way, and you want to join in, here's our email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Right, we've got one more problem, but I think we've run out of time.
We've
gone on far too much. I've just talked drivel, haven't I?
Absolutely.
I've got a really good problem. I'm going to find this problem somewhere around here. Where is it? Right, I've got it. Look, we can't do it. It's far too. It's a really serious subject. It's from Fanny, and it's to do. It's just very serious.
Yeah, let's do it next week then.
Because we won't do it justice, and I don't want to rush it because it's a big problem.
But we'll do that one next week.
So, we'd like you to join in. So you can email us dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Tim Lovejoy. Or you could make sure you subscribe to us, by the way, and make sure you give us a nice review if you can. Tick 5 stars or something. That'd be lovely. We will see you all next week.
Absolutely.
And I will leave you with a bit more of Jamie's
breath. Unless Tim gets drunk and offends me on whiskey.
Exactly. We'll leave you with Jamie's book, which is very decent.
Bye.
I collected my bag and thought I should head to the hostel as it was late in the evening in Thailand when I landed. not wanting to be ripped off by taxi drivers seeking a quick buck from wet behind the ears travellers, which I most certainly was, I instead decided that the better option would be to take the shuttle train into the centre of Bangkok. Easy enough, right? Well, not so much, as it turns out.